Go to 1 Timothy chapter number 2 this evening, and let's get into the scriptures. We want to share tonight about praying for our nation. So the Bible instructs us to do this in this passage we're turning to. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 3. And when you're there, say, "I found it, Pastor." "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority." Do you realize verse 1 tells you to pray for all men, that when you do verse 2, you pray for all men? When you're praying for governments and kings, those in authority, you're praying for all men because men are under those governments. But it said, "Pray for kings, all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Would it be right for us to obey the Bible? So we're to, first of all, he said, pray for our leaders, our government officials and so forth. That wouldn't just be the presidency. That'd be senators, House of Representatives. That'd be everything in our local city, everything on the state level, people in the judicial system, so forth. And then he said, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Say, "God our Savior."
God our Savior.
Say, he didn't say, "Government our Savior." We talk to God, our Savior, about our government. Amen. One of the commentaries refers to this passage and says, rather than "all that are in authority," the commentary says, "places of influence over the masses." Governments are in places of influence over the masses. Now, why does God tell us to pray for our government? It's because, well, let's look at verse number 4. Maybe we stopped too quick. "Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men." Well, let's see. Back up to verse number 2. It was in verse number 2. "The king, pray for kings, all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Amen. Notice he said, whenever we pray for our government, it affects us. He said, do this so that you can live the kind of life I want you to live, rather than oppressed, you know, persecuted, so forth and so on. Amen. So that you may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So the reason that we have that our authority extends to the government, the civil government. When I say civil government, I'm including everybody. You know, president, senate, judicial, everybody, representatives, local, state, everybody, dog catcher, whoever, the local sheriff. You know, the police. Amen. Everybody. I'm just going to say civil government. I'm talking about everybody. But the reason that our authority extends to that, to them, is because their decisions and how they do things and what they do affects us. Do you remember Jesus said to Brother Hagin in one of the visions he had, he said, because there was it was actually the pastor he was preaching for that was kneeling with him in prayer in his living room or kitchen, I don't recall, who he went and Brother Hagin said, his little daughter came in and said, "Daddy, pray with me." Not Brother Hagin's daughter, but the pastor's daughter. "Pray with me. I need to go to bed. I got to get up for school in the morning. It's getting late." And he was sitting there talking to the pastor and fellowshipping, and it got late and he lost track of time. And so the pastor said, "All right." And he got up to go to the little girl's room and put her to bed and pray with her. He said, "Oh, honey, just come in here. Just kneel down with Brother Hagin and I, and we'll just pray right here, and then you can go off to bed." Brother Hagin said he knelt down, and right away he's in the spirit, and he saw Jesus, and Jesus started talking to him about devils, demons, and evil spirits. From now on, from this night forward, what's known in my word as discerning of spirits will operate in your life and ministry when you're in the spirit. And he talked to him extensively about demons and so forth and their activity. And one of the things that Jesus narrated, that Jesus actually talked to Brother Hagin about, was something that Brother Hagin in the vision saw. He saw this pastor's wife that he's kneeling. His wife had left him and went out into the world or whatever. And Brother Hagin said that he saw in the vision when Jesus appeared to him there in that living room. I'm going to say it was living room. He said that Jesus showed that him in the spirit that this wife, the former wife of this pastor, was being influenced by the devil to cause trouble for this pastor. You know, people, they get offended or whatever, get out under the influence of the world or sin or their own flesh, and then demons start oppressing them and talking to them and so forth. I mean, they'll try to talk to us too. We learned our authority, and we were learning not to yield to them. But so anyway, this lady was, he saw in the spirit, being used of a devil, a demon, to harass this pastor. And Jesus told him to exercise authority over it. And it's a longer story than I have time to get into tonight. And Brother Hagin finally did. And then after the vision, it's much longer than I'm telling, but after the vision, Jesus, the pastor said, I could tell you were seeing something, but he said, I didn't see what you saw, but I got a note of victory like something was broken that was coming against me in the ministry. And Brother Hagin told him the whole story. And he said, well, Brother Hagin, what I didn't tell you was my wife, of course, she left. She went out into sin, out into the world. But she got, you know, whatever, got a burr under her collar. And she had contacted me. This pastor was talking to Brother Hagin. She contacted me and said that I'm going to come back to town. I'm going to cause trouble for you. I'm going to stir up problems. I'm going to tell tales all over town. Little old town. Everybody knows everybody else, you know. And that spreads through the town. And she's coming. She said she's on purpose going to come. And she said, and Brother Hagin said, this pastor told him, I just got a letter today saying she's coming back to do all that and cause me all this trouble. And Brother Hagin said, well, that was a spirit operating through her, trying to oppress, harass, and, cause trouble, to impede the ministry, and so forth and so on. And I was able to deal with it in the spirit. And later on, that woman never came back to town. She never caused any problem. Because, see, it wasn't her. How many of you know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood? It wasn't her. It was a demon spirit. And see, Brother Hagin didn't know all that. He knew that this man's wife had left him, but he didn't know she was trying to come back and cause trouble and all that. And then Jesus said to Brother Hagin in the vision, he said, you don't need, not because he's in a vision, seeing in the spirit and having an operation of discerning of spirits. He's seeing in the spirit, and in the spirit, God's given him a word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is this woman's going to, you know, come back. That spirit's going to influence her, so forth, so on. So take authority over. Well, Brother Hagin said, Jesus said in the vision, you don't need, now you're seeing me in the spirit. You're having discerning of spirits in word of knowledge. But you don't need to have discerning of spirits or a word of knowledge to know that if something's harassing, hindering, impeding, trying to intimidate, or even, he said, embarrass.
Yep, come on.
The church or the ministry or my work, you don't need a gift of the Spirit to know it's the devil behind it. Take authority over it.
Amen.
Boy, I've used that one over and over, and it works.
Amen.
Boy, does it work. Because, see, anyway, I won't get into all that, but hallelujah. Thank God for the authority of the believer. Amen. I don't know how I got on all that, but it's all good anyhow.
Amen.
We have standing at the throne of God. We have authority over the forces of darkness that seek to oppress the church, whether it be through some offended person that we know personally or some demonized government official. Amen. Now, so we're going to talk about this tonight, talking about praying for our government. There's two sides of this. We need to pray for our government officials and make power available. Amen. For those that God wants to use. And then we need to exercise authority over the forces of darkness that seek to use people in government places. You read Daniel chapter number 10 verses, what is it here? I got it written down. Daniel chapter number 10, I believe it's verse 13, 14, somewhere in there. You read that, 12 and 13. You read that and you'll find there are not just natural governments. There is a spiritual kingdom that rules over natural kingdoms. And Satan, in his realm of darkness, sets up demonic assignments to work against government officials to hinder the plan of God. You can find that in Daniel chapter number 10, verses 12 and 13 there. We won't take time to get into all that, but whenever Daniel finally prayed through, an angel got through with a message, and the message was, well, there's been the prince of Persia that has withstood me. And it wasn't a natural man, it was in the spirit realm. And so, but now I got through because I got some reinforcements through your prayers. Other angels were dispatched. And I got through because they were trying to keep God's message from getting into the earth. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. How many of you know we don't have to pray that through today? We can exercise authority. They didn't have authority. Daniel didn't have authority over demons in that day.
Right.
But we do.
Right.
So don't try to get all your doctrine from that passage about prayer. There's some things you can learn there, but you got to bring it through over into the New Testament. But anyway, our authority extends. This verse is telling us our authority in prayer at the throne of God and our authority over demon forces that try to influence government officials to harass, to hinder, or to slow down or work against the church. We have authority and it extends to that level. In reality, you are seated in a higher place of authority than they are. And I'll prove it to you before the end of the service if you don't say amen too much and I can't get it out. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, we have a higher place. They are elected to that place. We were born into our authority. They're there temporary. We're here forever. Hallelujah. So we have standing at the throne of God, and we have authority over those places of government authority that rules over the masses, places of influence over the masses. Do you realize the influence that government has causes the whole nation to go certain directions? If people in those places of influence make certain decisions, it causes the whole nation to go certain directions. Amen. And so we have standing at the throne of grace where we're authorized to change some things in government and those in seats of authority. Amen.
Amen.
I was praying because there's two sides to this. There's prayer that makes power available. I was praying one day and I found myself praying this. I wrote it down later because I didn't want to forget it. It just resonated so much with me. I was praying and I was praying for the government and different ones. And I said, I release the power of God to our government officials, whether it be against them or for them, whether it raises them up or removes them, whether it empowers their agenda or opposes it. I release the power of God for the plan of God and against the strategies and plans of the enemy in this nation.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm going to get into that as we go forward here. We have that place as the body of Christ to raise men up and to take them down. Now, somebody said, no, wait a minute. I read in the Old Testament, it says God is the one that raises people up and takes them down. Exactly.
Yes.
And we're in covenant with him.
Yes.
And, come on, the way he does what he does is through the church.
Yes. Amen.
Now, the Bible said we are laborers, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 9, we're laborers together with God. God doesn't do things on the earth just sovereignly so many times like people say. He does it through the church.
Yes.
Amen. We could prove that. How many of you have been here when we've gone through verse after verse that talks about prayer that proves something that John Wesley said?
Yes.
We're not just taking John Wesley and making it a doctrine. We're taking it and looking at the scriptures and seeing if it is so. And you look at the scriptures and it is so. John Wesley made the statement. He said, it seems God's limited by our prayer. Talking about the church, the people of God, by our prayer life. That he can do nothing for humanity unless somebody asks him. Then he said, why this is, we don't know. Brother Hagin said he read that. I never read that, but Brother Hagin said he read it, and he told all us about it. He said, I read that, and he said, well, I read that John Wesley didn't know. And he said out loud, he said, well, we ought to know. And then he said, I realized, I don't know either. So I went to studying and digging. And he looked at all these verses, and you can certainly see, you know, like for example, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Amen. Pray. You pray. Wait a minute. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's the one that's going to send the labor. Because he said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. He's the Lord of the harvest. He's going to send forth laborers. Must be his will to do it, because he said, pray that I do it.
Yeah.
So it must be his will. Yeah. And he's the one that's going to do it, not us.
Right.
Okay, if it's your will and you want to do it, why don't you just do it? Why do we have to pray about it? John Wesley's statement is the answer. It seems God is limited by our prayer life, that he can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him. And you go through the New Testament and the Old Testament, and you see that kind of thing over and over and over again. God says, basically, I want to do something, so ask me. So Brother Hagin kept seeing that, and then he said, I got to digging in wine, and he said, it dawned on me. He said, because Jesus said to him in time of prayer, go back to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings, he called it. And he said, that's Genesis. He said, and notice that originally I gave man, I gave Adam, authority over the earth.
Yeah.
Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, have dominion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yes.
Over the fish of the sea and everything. Then he said, finally, the whole earth.
Yes.
Have dominion. He gave man dominion.
Yes.
God wasn't running everything. He gave dominion to man.
Yes.
And then Adam sinned and committed high treason, and he lost that dominion.
Right.
We're going through things we've shared before, so we're not taking the time to go to every verse. But we could take many services and prove all these things very accurately. But then Jesus came to get it back for us.
Right.
He restored back to the church the dominion. That's why he said, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. But people stop there and don't realize. He said, go ye therefore. He's giving the authority that he got back over the earth back to the church. Somebody said, no, he has. Okay, well, then through the whole New Testament, why does the Bible say things like, whatever you bind is bound, whatever you loose is loose? And why does it not say, why does Jesus not say from heaven, I will resist the devil and he'll flee from me? He doesn't say that. He says, you resist the devil and he'll flee from you.
Amen.
So these things, we could take a lot of time. I don't want to take all the time, but I just wanted to give you a little synopsis again to remind you that we have authority on the earth. We have authority over devils and the forces of darkness that seek to harass a lot of different people in a lot of different settings, but government officials that oppose the church. To pass laws and influence the direction of the nation that are against the gospel, that are against the people of God. We have authority over those forces of darkness. See, it's not just men. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's forces of darkness behind them. And then we have authority at the throne of grace to disperse the anointing of the power of God to those that God wants to use. And we're laborers together with God in that, and that anointing will raise them up.
Yep. Yep.
And the authority of the believer will cause some to come down.
That's right. Amen.
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 And this honor is what the... Oh, okay, I can't. I got to go there now. I got to go back to Psalms. I was trying to wait. Do it in my plan. Do it my order. But no, go back to Psalm 149. Psalm 149. Verse number... Let's start in... Oh my, it's really the whole chapter. But let's just start in verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Hallelujah. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Psalm 149, verse number 6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Does that remind you of anything the New Testament says? Remember, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, having done all to stand, you know. And then he said, put on the armor, you know, the loins girt about with truth and all those things. Then he gets down, then the last verse, talking about the armor, I mean the last verse. He said, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the shield of faith. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? The Word of God. Verse number 18, then what do? Praying. So take the word to prayer.
Yes, amen.
Take the word to prayer. So having done all of this, having done all to stand using this armor. So he's talking about this Let the high praises of God, this is Psalm 149:6, be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Now, two-edged is very interesting. We won't take the time to get into that. But basically, there's two sides. You get on one side, there's the blessing of God. You get on the other side, there's the judgment of God. It's two-edged, not one-edged. It's two-edged. It's up to people. Do you want to be blessed and elevated? Then stay on God's side. Do you want to come down? Then work against God. Or the church. Anyway, that's all. Okay, verse number 7. We got to get rolling here. Verse number 7. To execute. Okay, what's this two-edged sword in our hand to do? To execute vengeance upon the heathen. And punishment upon the people. That's heathen people. Wicked people. Then he said, to verse 8. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To execute upon them the judgment written. Upon who? Kings. Nobles. Talking about government officials. To execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. We, all his saints, have the honor of removing the wrong government officials and put the right ones up in their offices according to the will of God. This is the church's responsibility. Now, it's only 6 days to our election, so, you know, we've been doing this long before, 6 days before the election. But I just had a prompting to share some of this. This honor has the church. The church has the honor of raising up and taking down government officials. By the blessing of God, by distributing the anointing to them. Are you with me? Or taking authority over the forces of darkness behind them. If they're working against the plan of God. Then this honor have all ye his saints. In prayer and by using this honor given to us, which is the authority of the believer, and we can install God's men or God's women in positions of government authority or remove them. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're dealing with the forces behind it. You understand? Through the authority of the believer and our prayer life, we can disperse the anointing to them and prepare them for those positions of authority and these places of influence over the masses. Or it is our honor and even our responsibility, and we're commanded to do it, in fact, to take authority over those forces that raise up wicked and unreasonable men. That we be delivered from them. Amen. And who try to hinder the freedom of the gospel. Amen. You know, the Bible said it's Satan that blinds the minds of them that believe not. So Satan's the one trying to oppose the gospel. He's opposing it through different ways, and government sometimes is the way he tries to do it. Now, God himself gave us this honor. This authority is what he's talking about whenever we say honor, because what happens in government, in seats of government authority, affect our lives. Now, I go back to the vision Brother Hagin had whenever Jesus said to him in that vision, now take authority over that evil spirit working through that woman to oppose this my servant, called him this pastor, his servant, in the ministry here in this city. And Jesus said, when you do that, that spirit working through that woman to try to oppose this pastor will be bound in his activity against this pastor. He said, but that doesn't mean that that woman will no longer be oppressed by that spirit. That woman won't necessarily be free from that spirit, but that spirit won't be able to operate through her to hinder the church.
Yeah, that's right.
In other words, you taking authority over that spirit won't deliver her from that spirit.
Right.
You know, she's going to go on mentally tormented and everything like that, but she cannot that spirit cannot manifest through her to hinder the church.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
And so when we deal with these forces, that doesn't mean these people won't still be influenced by demons, but it just can't work through them against us. Because that's where our authority is. We don't have authority in their life to set them free individually unless they give us that authority by asking us to pray for them or asking us to deal with the forces of darkness. We don't have authority in other people's lives. But we do have authority over that thing coming through them to influence us. Does that make sense? You need to get a hold of that. When people down at the place of employment you're working at, or people relatives, or people that are demonized in different situations, different, you know, whatever relationships you have or something, and that demon is trying to influence you, you have authority over that thing influencing you. But that doesn't mean that they won't go on their tormented way. Oh, you pray for them and you want us, Lord, open the eyes of their understanding. Show them that they don't have to be bound by that thing.
Yeah.
You know, you love them. I don't mean you don't love them. But I'm just simply saying you can't cast that thing out of them unless they want to be free and come and ask you.
Yeah.
Well, then right there, they gave you authority to do it. Making sense? Anybody making? So that's why we have authority over the spirits to try to work through government officials to oppress the church.
Yeah.
Not because we have authority over themselves being oppressed, but we have authority over that thing coming through them to influence the church. Amen. So we have that authority because our authority is at the throne of grace, which is higher than their authority. Amen. Now, notice this honor have all his saints. Now notice it goes on and says, to execute judgment upon, the judgment written.
Yeah.
To execute judgment written.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now this honor have all his saints.
Yeah.
Why do you call a judge your honor? Because that's the way they refer to him in courtrooms, right? I mean, if you're there, it'd be best for you to call him your honor, not Bubba. You might get in trouble. You might have more problems. Amen. Why do you address him as your honor? Because that he has been given by the state or whatever, depending on the kind of judge he is. He has been given the awesome power and authority to execute legal dominion over the lives of men and women. What is that authority called? Honor. Authority is recognizable honor. It's given to him to execute the judgment written in the laws that are on the books. If there are laws on the books and somebody is pleading that they're bringing that law to that court to get whatever, restraining order, whatever, it depends on the situation. But whatever is written on the books, that, and somebody's pleading that case, what's written on the books, then that judge has the awesome legal authority and power over men and women's lives to execute a sentence based on what's written in the books. The law. Talking about civil law, civil government. Well, guess what? We have the awesome privilege of to look at what's written and say, not here, not now.
Amen.
I take authority over that in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And kerplop, down they come.
Amen.
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 Amen. I've seen some amazing things. I've seen demonic spirits influencing people in government and taking authority over it. And the thing just in the spirit realm, I don't mean melt because they don't cease to exist, but it's almost like they deflate. It's like they're all puffed up and manifesting, and you take authority over it and they become like a whipped pup and they run off.
Yeah.
The one back in 2016 that I keep talking about that was trying to put the wrong person in the presidency. Now, that makes some people mad, but that doesn't. Listen, it's a small thing. 1 Corinthians 4:3. It's a small thing with me that I be judged of men's thinking. Very small thing. Very small thing. I'm going to operate in the calling of God in this church.
Amen.
Whether people jump up and down for joy or whether they get mad.
Amen.
Amen. But anyway, that thing in 2016, that was the most wicked, the most demon. Well, it was a demon. How do you say that? I mean, the most unclean, the most perverted, the most twisted, the most dishonest, the most. I've seen spirits, but not that big in the spirit realm and not that wicked. And my mind kept saying, that thing is wicked. And I kept thinking, wait a minute, they're all wicked. My mind kept saying, they're all wicked.
Yeah.
And then after the experience, the Lord reminded me of Jesus said, when an unclean spirit is going out of a man, he goes out, you know, seeking rest, finds none. He said, I'm going to take seven spirits more wicked than myself. The Lord reminded me of that. I'm like, oh, some of them are more wicked than others. But this one was wicked. This was a higher. It wasn't one of the little, you know, errand boys in the kingdom of darkness. And we dealt with that thing. And that thing. It left. It could not. Now that person is still oppressed by that thing, but it's less in manifestation. I'll be honest with you. Back 2 weeks ago, that thing showed up in my room when I was sleeping. I could say a whole lot more about this than what I will, but that thing was so diminished. And so less, I don't know how to say it, because I know authority over them keeps them from their activity. But he was in existence, but he was so much less, I don't know how to say it, in authority or something. He was so much less powerful. I don't know how to describe it. And there's more to this experience than what I have liberty to talk about. Maybe sometime I'll talk about it. But I woke up. And I said, now you get out of here. I forbid you. I commanded you in 2016. No. And I forbid you again. You get out of here. You can't operate against this nation. I asked the Lord about it later. And I said, Lord, what was that all about? He said, he wants you to give this nation up out of the power and keeping of God. Now, somebody said, are you the only one? I'm not that stupid. There's a lot of us. And there's probably other people that have similar. I don't know. I haven't talked to many people. But when God called Elijah in the Old Testament to drive, Elijah was anointed to drive Baal worship out of Israel. That's what he was anointed to do. You read the whole story. And the way he did it was through prayer. We have record of it in James chapter number 5. Let's go over to James chapter number 5. We don't have a lot of time here. We've got to wrap this up. It says in James 5, confess your faults one another, pray one for another. You may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. You know the Amplified makes tremendous power available. Now, verse 17. Elias, now you look that up in other translations, Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now notice, our prayer life makes tremendous power available. And then he said, Elijah prayed in the Old Testament. And there were signs. It didn't rain. Remember, Ahab was the one. Ahab and Jezebel were the main king that Elijah's ministry was operating under. And they were probably the most wicked king and queen that Israel ever had. So Ahab, and if you study it out, Jezebel was a Baal worshiper. She took Baal worship into the whole nation. She opened the floodgates. Now you can understand. See, that brought that one woman. God had good kings up until that. And then that one woman and Ahab. Ahab was a panty-waisted man. He let his wife boss him around. And she said Baal worship. And he goes, okay, we'll do. Ahab's a sissy. Don't get mad because I'm preaching better than your amen. And Jezebel's really the one running everything. She's a Baal worshiper. And so she set up all this. And she became a doorway into the whole nation for Baal worship to spread through the whole nation. And Elijah's ministering under that. And God raised him up to drive Baal worship out of Israel. Are you still with me tonight? Now, think about the statement before we go any further. Think about Jesus in Matthew 16. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Say, gates of hell.
Gates of hell.
The gates of hell are people who give. See, what is a gate or a door or a, it's an access way into a room or into a building or something. Gates are access realm. People are gates to the spirit realm. They're either a gateway to the spirit realm to get things into the earth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're either a gateway to the devil, or they're a gateway for God.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
God does what he does on this earth through men, because men have authority down here. Amen. And the spirit realm has to have a person to operate through to get something done down here.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Somebody said, Jesus said there in John, Matthew 16, the gates of hell shall not prevail against. He's talking about people who yield to hell.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
Hell, through these people, will not be able to prevail against the church. Hallelujah! Well, are you sure those are people that those gates? Yeah, think about the book of Psalm 29. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Well, he's going to come in through gates. But notice these gates have heads.
Yes, sir.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates. He's calling people the gates of heaven for God to bring his will to pass in the earth.
Yes.
And the church today is the gate of God into the earth.
Amen.
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 I'm getting to where I'm going tonight.
Amen.
The gates of hell are people who yield to demon forces. The gates of heaven are people who yield to the Holy Ghost, yield to the Spirit of God, and give access of God's realm, the blessings of God, into the earth.
Yes.
You need to learn to identify which ones are the gates of hell and which ones are the gates of heaven.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Which one is hell using to get into the earth, and which people is heaven using to get into the earth? And then deal with the forces behind the ones hell's using. I can't even watch on TV because that's just like a demon. He's like a demon speaking to me. I'm like, I don't listen to demons. I command you to take your hands off that person influencing this nation.
Yes, sir.
Command you to shut up in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about a person. I'm talking about the force of darkness. If I saw the person in person, I'd probably shake their hand and say hello. I wouldn't scream at them. But I'd be under my breath going, that force of darkness behind you, you're not. You know what I'm talking about? We ought to use some common sense. A lot of this has to be done in private, you know. Yeah, they're the ones going, but so, are you with me still? Now, Jezebel became a gate of hell into Israel to open up the nation to Baal worship. God raised up Elijah to drive Baal worship out of Israel. Are you with me? Now, here he said he had, one of the things he did was he did it through prayer. Remember James there said, like Elijah prayed, he said, your prayers avail much. Okay? So he's telling the church, it's not up to the prophets or the preachers or the pastor to do the praying. He said the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. Yes. It's not ministers. Ministers have a role, but it's not the role. They're not to do all the praying about the nation.
Right. That's right.
Tell your neighbor, he just told you that you have an assignment to pray for this nation. Yeah, that's what 1 Timothy said.
Yes,
I would, he's writing. To the church, I would, first of all, prayer, supplication.
Yep.
So we're all to be praying about this. We're all to be exercising our authority. How many of you know this honor have all his saints, not all his ministers. His ministers are saints, but he didn't say ministers. He said saints. Now, go to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. We're going to wrap this up. 1 Kings 19, verse 15. I'll give you the context. Remember, Elijah commanded it not to rain, and then he prayed, and then the heavens got brought rain. You remember that? And Elijah had a meeting with all the prophets of Baal and cut their heads off. And Jezebel prophets of Baal. She's now. Have a lot of her prophets don't have heads. I like Elijah. I'm not promoting murder. I'm just saying that's a good story.
Come on.
So, see, back then they didn't have the authority of the believer, so they had to wrestle against flesh and blood.
Yes. Yep.
The authority of the believer makes a lot of things happen under the New Testament. If we use our authority, it'll make a lot of things happen without a drop of blood shed. It's if we don't use our authority when blood starts being shed.
Yes, sir.
Amen. But, notice, 1 Kings, Elijah had this showdown and cut off the prophet's head. And the prophet came, verse number 22 here, 1 Kings chapter number 20. Well, where am I at here? Chapter number 19. I'm in the wrong chapter. 1 Kings 19. Jezebel said, she found out what had happened, and she said, "The Lord do so to me," in other words, my head come off, "if I don't take your head off of you by tomorrow this time." Talking to Elijah. Remember, he ran for his life. And he gets over there in that cave, you remember, and then there was if you read this whole chapter here, there was a wind that rent the rocks and so forth, and an earthquake and so forth. The Lord wasn't in the earthquake, wasn't in the wind, and so forth. You remember all that? Verse number 11. And then after the earthquake, a fire, verse 12, then verse 13. So after the fire, verse 12, excuse me, there was a still small voice. And that was the Lord talking to Elijah. And then here's what he told him to do, verse 15. 1 Kings 19, verse 15. The Lord said unto him, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria." Verse 16. Jehu, and the Lord talked to me a lot recently. I haven't had utterance to talk about it. About this man named Jehu. Because we have a Jehu in America right now. "Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay." He's talking about these servants of Baal. He's anointed to drive Baal worship out of Israel. And notice how God used him to drive Baal worship out of Israel. James talks about his prayer life. But in that prayer life, God spoke to him and he said, "Now this is who I want to be king here. In Syria. Here's who I want to be king in Israel. And here's who I want to be prophet in your room." Now, are you with me?
Yes,
to drive Baal worship out of Israel, God had Elijah by the anointing of the Spirit. You can't do this in the flesh. God calls, God anoints. Man separates people under that call to function in that anointing. The church, the body of Christ, through our prayer life. God calls, God anoints. But God anointed Elijah to drive Baal worship out of Israel. But to do that, he had him distribute the anointing to three categories of people. If you study these people, one of them at the time, Hazael, he was going to be king. Jehu was a military man. And Elisha was a man called to be prophet after Elijah. So in order to drive Baal worship out of Israel, God spoke to Elijah and said, here's how you do it. You impart into laborers in the ministry realm, which is the spirit realm, those who operate in the anointing of the Spirit in ministry offices, and laborers in the natural realm, which includes two areas, government leaders and military leaders. He got direction to do that in prayer. And if you read the story, because how many of you know the book of Matthew says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. We need laborers to carry out the work of God in this time to get the fullness of this end time era into manifestation. But we don't just need laborers in the ministry realm. We need laborers in the government realm. We need laborers in the military realm. See, let's get beyond just laborers in the church. Although that's probably the main area we need laborers. But God called in Romans 13 government officials, he called them his ministers. Didn't he in Romans chapter number 13? Amen. Well, laborers could include people taking the gospel to government officials. We could understand that, getting the gospel to them. They need the gospel just like everybody else. Certainly they do. But when it comes to praying for these civil government authorities, we see that prayer for laborers includes praying for those who God wants seated in these offices. They're called ministers in Romans 13:4. Government authority is the ordinance of God, Romans 13:2. How many of you know he raises some up and takes others down? And he works with us in that. How do we cooperate? We pray and find out who to distribute the anointing to. And then we pray and find out who is being used of the devil and take authority over the forces behind that. So we as the church have the honor. I don't know, this is blessing me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They that are going to do the God's work, amen, they're going to do God's work just in a different realm. How many of you know we need people of God working for the kingdom of God in every realm? We need them in the business realm, the political realm, every realm. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, not everybody in those offices are put there by God. So the church is responsible to work with God in this. Amen. I've seldom gone to prayer for the nation or for government officials and not ended up on the fivefold ministry and the body of Christ. It happens most of the time. Not always consciously, but after it happens, I realize that's what happened last time, you know. And here's why. Because if the church will do her job, the other job will get done.
Yes, sir.
This is on the church. What happens in the nation is on the church. I said it's on the church. Now, you might sit there and look at me and say, I don't understand that, or say, I don't agree with that, and that's fine. But just wait till you get to the judgment seat of Christ, and you'll find out it's on us, the church. Amen. Now, fivefold ministers have a role in this. But when it came to James 5, it didn't say that ministers ought to pray because Elijah was in the ministry. He stood in the office of the prophet, and so ministers should pray. No, he said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. We actually, in the kingdom of God, have a higher place than Elijah the prophet. You remember Jesus said John the Baptist was the greatest prophet in the Old Testament, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than him. We have a higher place of authority even than Elisha did. Are you still getting this? Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You know, if we'll spend more time watching over this in the Spirit, that we won't have such struggles in our nation. We won't have such struggles in elections. Are you there? We won't have to fight so hard in the natural realm for the will of God to be done. This battle that's going on right now is not political. It is not political. It is a battle for the minds of men in this nation. It is a battle to get them to think wrong, to yield to putting the wrong people up there. And between, I think, 30 and 40 million believers don't vote. We're still the majority, and we could take this thing every single time if we just did what we're supposed to do. Pray, take authority, and vote. This honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I did it. I preached myself happy. All battles are political at its core. Political. All battles are spiritual, not political. All battles are spiritual at their core. Amen. Do you remember the financial crunch that hit here in 2008 and what Jesus said in a vision told Dr. Dufresne to do whenever he was here ministering? He saw that vision and this demon spreading this dark stuff over the economy and over Wall Street. Remember that? You remember all that? And God gave Dr. Dufresne a vision of that thing. And then he spoke to him and talked to him about that spirit. And said what it was. Called it a socialist spirit. And then he said, do you want me to take authority? Dr. Dufresne said to the Lord, do you want me to take authority over that? And Dr. Dufresne said, the Lord said to him, no, when you get to church tonight, you lead this local congregation in exercising authority over it as a representative of the whole body of Christ. See, it wasn't just the prophet that's supposed to deal with that. It's the whole body of Christ that's supposed to deal with that. The prophet has a role to say, now here's what the Spirit's saying. Are you there? Amen. And to be honest with you, to drive some things out, to help for the church to raise up to get the church back to her God-ordained place in the Spirit. Prophets call the church back to operating in the Spirit. Come on, let's get back over into prayer. Let's get back over into who we are in Christ. Who the authority we have in Christ. Take our place in the Spirit and bring people back to operating in their rightful place in the Spirit, in authority and in prayer. Can you say amen?
Amen.
You remember the Bible said the fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, they're to minister to the saints so that the saints can get busy and do what they're called to do.
Amen.
Ministers are to build up the church, to edify them, to tell them, your authority extends all the way to the highest civil government positions of this land.
Yes. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
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 Then, as a result of praying, the church praying, then the anointing can come on someone in the fivefold ministry offices, if the Lord sees fit, and have them deal with things and distribute some anointings and declare some things. Now listen to me. Under that ministry office, in the spirit of seeing and knowing. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And make power available both to those that God wants to raise up and make power available to the five. See, the anointing here was distributed to fivefold ministry offices, to people in civil and military areas. And the church can pray and distribute and pray the power down and manifestation on minister offices so that they move over into the realm of the Spirit, operate in their office, and the Spirit is seeing and knowing however the Lord wants them to operate. And listen to me very carefully. And in the gift of special faith. Because I'll tell you some of these things that I've had happen in my life, and I've talked to other ministers have had in their life. The Lord gave them some things, and they stood up, not just in the authority of the believer, but under the anointing of the gift of faith.
Yes, sir.
And declared under that anointing, such and such will happen, and such will be stand in this office.
Yes, sir.
That's not a man speaking. Men can say things like that, but without that anointing, that's just human and there's no power. But, are you with me?
Yes.
Under that anointing of special faith.
Yes, sir.
You, something drops into your spirit and you have faith to decree something way beyond your own measure of faith through the new birth.
Yes.
Which we all have. We all have faith through the new birth. But there's a place in the spirit that the anointing comes on ministers, and I've seen it happen to laity, but it's usually ministers, to where they stand and they begin to decree, such and such will happen, and this person will be exalted to this position, and this person will fall in the name of Jesus. And they're not just speaking in the authority of the believer. They're speaking under the gift of special faith. Oh, I'm telling you, once that happens, it's as good as done. I said, it's as good as done. Woo, glory to God. I did it. I preached myself happy. I said, I preached myself happy. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So can you release that authority? Can you speak and can you pray and bring the power of God into manifestation, make tremendous power available? Absolutely. God can use you to pray about government officials, pray for ministers. And I'm telling you what, when that anointing comes on, that's what the Lord said to me about the Supreme Court justice. This is about 2 weeks before President Trump nominated her. I said, Lord, I said, there's a couple people here that stand out to me. Which one is it? And he pointed the Amy Coney Barrett out, and he said, the anointing's on her for it. And so I said, because I got that by revelation. See, that's a word of knowledge. So I said, in the name of Jesus, I distribute the anointing to you to stand as a Supreme Court justice, and I release you into that office. Now, somebody said, did you do all that? There were people all over this nation doing that. You got to understand, when I say these things, I don't think I'm the big kahuna in the body of Christ. I'm just talking about all of us can operate in the Spirit and raise people up and bring them down. Stand with me to your feet. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Did you get anything out of that tonight? Let's exercise the authority. See, there's faith in the room to do it right now. Let's say this out loud. Raise up both of your hands and repeat this after me. Say, Father God, I thank you for the place that you've given me, that you've given us in the body of Christ to speak a thing and distribute the anointing to those you want to use in this hour. I release the power of God to our government officials. Whether it be against them or for them. Whether it raises them up or removes them. Whether it empowers their agenda or opposes it. I release the power of God for the plan of God. And I take authority over the strategy of the enemy in this nation to try to raise up ungodly and wicked men. Satan, you take your hands off of this nation. You have no authority here. That authority is given to the church. And I take my authority tonight. I take my authority tonight. I exercise that authority. And I command all the forces of darkness trying to raise up ungodly, wicked men. Or women. I take authority over that assignment. And I command that demon power to cease and desist in its maneuvers and in its operations against us as the church. The plan of God will come to pass in this election, in this nation. Hallelujah. This nation will finish its course. Hallelujah. I believe I receive it, Father. Thank you, Lord. And raise up your hands and just give him thanks. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, one thing Satan wants to do is he wants the election to be in dispute. So he can stir people who are willing to yield to him to violence, rioting, and further divide this nation. Close your eyes, lift up one hand toward heaven, say, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over those spirits that seek to influence the social stratosphere and the social realm of this nation. I command peace in this nation. And rioting, I command it to stop in Jesus' name. Those spirits that seek to stir up riots, we bind them tonight, and we command there to be peace in this nation. I command every spirit that seeks to divide us to fall now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and give him thanks. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, there are people in government that want chaos. You know why? Because they're influenced by devils. Pray for all their authority that we may have a quiet and peaceable life. For this is acceptable with God our Savior. The Lord wants this nation to have peace. Anybody that doesn't is motivated by demons. There are people strategizing and making plans right now to riot after the election. They're being motivated by demons. But we have taken authority over that. Ha, 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 ha. I command, I see it now, Lord. I command confusion to go into their camp. I think that, oh yeah, I see that, Father. I see that. Manchikia, Manchikia, ha, 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 ha. Amachia, Yamanidi, Apakaya, Ekadura, Bede, Pakadia, they can't get it together. They can't get it together. All the organization falls apart in the name of Jesus. Ha ha ha. Ha 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 ha. Yeah. My. Mashikia. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God's good. Tell your neighbor God's good. Praise God. Amen. Can you see how your authority is higher? Can you see that tonight? You know, the devil wants to say, well, you know, what good will it do for me? I mean, I'm just this little old nobody down here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Well, you're not. You're a higher authority than the President of the United States. Well, they don't believe that over here. How about you over here? You're not seated in the White House. You're seated at the right hand. Raised up together, made to sit together with Jesus in heavenly places. Far above. Woo! Woo! Glory be to God. 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 Say no, no, no. We're not giving this nation up out of the power and keeping of God. No, 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 no. Ha, 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 devil. You want us to, but we're not doing it. See, Jesus there in Luke, remember, in the Amplified, it says, Satan has desired, King James, Satan has desired to have you. Jesus, speaking to Peter, desired to have you, might sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you. Remember that?
Yes.
Amplified says, he has asked incessantly that you be given up out of the power and keeping of God.
Yeah.
Satan wanted Jesus to give him up. Jesus said, I'm not giving him up. Satan wanted Peter because of all he was going to do for God. But Jesus, Satan had a problem. Not only did he want Peter, Jesus wanted Peter. The devil wants this nation, but he's got a problem. So do we. So do we. And we're not giving it up. We're not giving it up. Woo! Glory! Glory! Ha ha ha! My! I'm gonna leave here with bubbles going up and down in my spirit. Something in me just in there turning flips right now. Woo! Woo! Glory be to God! Praise God, praise God, praise God. My. Well, God's good. Hallelujah. I believe God wants the church to understand the authority of the believer. The authority of the believer. Amen.